Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, September 4th. Well, I hope everyone had a great holiday weekend and also happy back to school day to you or your children, and happy Grant Hill week as well. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine this summer. And today, we're talking Grant Hill, as the former Pistons great is headed to the Hall of Fame on Friday night in Springfield, Massachusetts. We're also going to talk to Brendan Welper of Pistons Powered about an interesting debate that he wrote about for the website over the weekend. Should Grant Hill have his number retired by the Pistons? We'll present both sides of that debate. Also talk more about the Pistons Powered site with Brendan, how he got involved with writing about the fan-sided blog for the Detroit Pistons as well. This is check me out on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also check out the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at Locked On Pistons. We got a Facebook page too at Matt Shook. At Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And also check out the Instagram feed that I'm trying to do a little bit more with. It's Matthew-Shook there on Instagram. But do you have a man cave that needs sprucing up? Or do you want to get out and play a round of golf but don't have the 5 hours to play? Or are you looking for more gear to represent the city of Detroit? I know many of you listening can say yes to at least one of these questions, probably all three. Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles have you covered on all of these fronts. Their store on Main Street in Clawson has not just golf, where they have 80 courses to choose from, but an all-sports simulator. You can play baseball, football, hockey, lacrosse, all on their huge screen in the back of the store. Rent the screen all-sports simulator with friends for a few hours, especially with the winter coming up, and you've got a winner for a fun day. It's great for a birthday party or just an afternoon with friends. You can save your stats throughout the year and scores in their system and be working on your game even when it's the winter off season. Jim and Ann are there on weekends, Friday from 10 to 3 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5, or make an appointment and they'll meet you up there anytime throughout the week after 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday. They will be there for you. Even better, tell them you heard about their store on Locked On Pistons. They will give you 10% off your first purchase. They are at 661 South Main Street in Clawson. Plus, you can order items at DetroitCollectibles.net. Check out their website. I will promise that you'll find something that you did not know that you definitely need. Support Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles, support Michigan small businesses, and in turn, support the Locked On Pistons podcast. Check out Detroit Sports Collectibles, 661 South Main Street in Clawson, and also at DetroitCollectibles.net. Give them a call at 844-238-6277. Again, 844-238-6277. Big thanks to Jim and Ann from Detroit Sports Collectibles for joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, being part of our team, and do what you can to support them. Stop by their store, check it out. I promise that you will go back if you visit their store one time. But as we're talking today, the Hall of Fame, Ray Allen, Maurice Cheeks, former Pistons coach there as well, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Charlie Scott. Those are the NBA players being inducted. There are also some contributors joining the cast, along with Rod Thorne, the former NBA executive, and WNBA players such as Katie Smith and Tina Thompson, and Dino Raja representing the foreign players, the former Boston Celtic player there. 7 o'clock Eastern on Friday night from Springfield, Massachusetts. Always a fun night. If you look at this list of speakers and inductees, though, there's kind of no off-the-wall speakers who are guaranteed entertainment on the stage. In past years, you had guys like Michael Jordan's famous speech, Charles Barkley, always entertaining, Shaq did a good job up there, Allen Iverson was a very memorable Hall of Fame speech as well, Dennis Rodman, you never know what you're going to get there. Those kind of guys who you tuned in maybe to hear what they were going to say, but this one is a cerebral class. You can imagine the speeches of Ray Allen, Grant Hill, and Steve Nash that will probably be all very well done, super intelligent guys who maybe could be running for office someday, especially in Grant Hill's case. And then Steve Nash, the beloved Canadian there as well. We'll have our eyes on that. And looking forward to a great night in Springfield, Massachusetts. Maybe someday I'll head up there myself and see get when a guy like Chauncey Billups or possibly Ben Wallace gets their chance to get in the Hall of Fame. Maybe someday down the road, maybe we'll make a road trip. As I said that this summer when Alan Trammell and Jack Morris went into Cooperstown, maybe the next time I go into Cooperstown will be to check out like a Justin Verlander ceremony or something like that with my folks. So we'll see, and let me know. Have you ever been to the Springfield, Massachusetts Hoops Hall of Fame? Let us know on Twitter or through email on Facebook as well. Is it worth it? Is it worth the trip to go to Springfield, Massachusetts? I've had a couple friends that have been there. I have never been there. I've been to Cooperstown one time, but I think that's basically the only Hall of Fame that I've ever been to as far as the major sports. I've been to Toronto, but didn't go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And the little known fact that I found out over the weekend when I was in Atlanta for one of my good friend's weddings this past weekend, the College Football Hall of Fame is in Atlanta. So if you're ever going down to Atlanta, that's another reason to maybe spend a couple hours there in the city. I did not go to that, didn't have the time this weekend, but if you're a big college football fan, that might be something that you would check out there. College Basketball Hall of Fame, I believe, is in Kansas City, too. So some off-the-wall Hall of Fames that maybe you didn't know about. And with the NFL Hall of Fame, just to our neighbors to the south down in Canton, Ohio, I've never been to that one either. So am I missing out on all these? And the one time I did go to Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame, I was very young. So let me know on Twitter if we're missing out on going to some of these Hall of Fames. But the Locked On Podcast Network is growing to the Locked On College Campuses. We launched already the college channel for the Locked On Podcast Network. If you are a fan of Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, or BYU, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, and follow those teams on the Locked On Network for free. It is the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now, we have an exciting announcement coming up later this week about a Locked On College podcast that fans in the state of Michigan might be very excited to hear about, possibly the ones that had a bad weekend down in South Bend, Indiana this past weekend. But we will be joined by Brendan Welper of Piston Powered coming up soon. And you've heard me talk about advertising. We're looking for advertisers, especially ones in the Detroit metro area. If your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44, all sorts of daily dedicated listeners. If you're interested in joining our team, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, and we are now being joined by Brendan Welper, the site expert at Piston Powered, the fan-sided blog that covers the team. Hopefully you guys are already reading Piston Powered, but if you're not, you should be doing it by now. Brendan, thanks for joining us here on Locked On Pistons.
Matt, hey, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the show. Good to be talking some basketball with you.
Yeah, it's getting to be about that time where we can start stop with maybe the hypotheticals and start with real basketball pretty soon. But speaking of hypotheticals, you had a really interesting piece on the site, which went up as we speak here on Sunday night, and I'm kind of having you on today because of it, and it's a good idea as far as a debate for sure. And it was titled, Should Grant Hill's Number Be Retired? With the Pistons, obviously, Grant going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. For his total basketball achievements in his professional and college career. But you think that Grant should have his number retired in Detroit. So can you kind of lay out the case for that for us?
Yeah, and this was something that when I realized the enshrinement ceremony is coming up later this week, I was thinking of, I was really young when his time with the Pistons around that time, but it kind of got me thinking, well, what piece could I write regarding Grant Hill? I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out within the next few days about his Pistons career, and then I imagine some of the other fan bases and cities will be kind of reflecting on his tenure in their respective areas as well. Then I got to thinking, yeah, it'd be a pretty good conversation starter should his number 33 be retired. It's been worn by guys like Jonas Derebko, and I think even last year, James Ennis might have worn it. And so I thought, there's some numbers up there in Detroit that a lot of people either don't necessarily agree with or think it should have been reserved for just a special few. And I thought Grant Hill was an interesting yet kind of polarizing figure among Pistons fans. He was only here for six seasons, but he was I mean, he was one of the NBA's best in that time where he was here. It was a weird era for the team. And I feel like it kind of gets lost in between the bad boys and the going to work era, that 6-7 year period where they were sort of kind of in no man's land, so to speak.
Yeah, and like you mentioned in your article, you laid out a lot of the accomplishments that he had in those 6 years. And if you're looking just at the numbers, and by the way, I pulled up the Basketball Reference 33s for the Pistons while you were talking there. There's a bunch of them. There's 10 guys. Walker Russell of Rochester, who was on the – not Walker Russell Jr., but Walker Russell Sr. Dave Greenwood of the Bad Boys, end of the bench era. Greenwood was a 33. Greg Cadillac Anderson from the post-Bad Boys era right before Grant Hill joined the team. And like you mentioned, Jonas Jerebko, James Ennison. Also, Willie Reed was number 33 in those few games.
For a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for the Pistons as well. So another interesting side note there. But if 33 does end up in the Raptors, the rafters at some point, I think it will be Grant Hill and not Cadillac Anderson that they will be giving it to. But maybe that's another debate for another day. But
I think it's a safe bet.
Hey, we'll see the story, the history is not written quite yet there, but so, and like you said, and I was the same guy who named Grant Hill last week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, on the All Pistons team, saying he's one of the best two forwards of all time for the Detroit Pistons organization. But I don't have a really strong feeling about this question, but I'm going to go with a slight no just for Grant Hill to be retired. And I know that sounds kind of antithetical to what I was saying as far as him being maybe the second best forward of all time. But I think that when you have like the Hall of Fame, and more so in baseball, but Hall of Fame, you're looking at basketball even, there's just a collective, it's a numbers game for a lot of people. You look at how many years they play, their big impact in that. So a lot of those numbers make sense when you're talking about a Hall of Fame case. But I think when you're talking about raising a number in the rafters, I think it's more of a, and I don't want to get too emotional about it, but the emotional attachment between the players and the fan base. You see guys like Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace were no-brainers to get up there. And you see a guy like Vinny Johnson. And Vinny Johnson, no doubt that he doesn't have the career numbers that Grant Hill does and was a guy off the bench for the team. But he, you know, he hit the shot. He won the championship. He was a Piston for almost his entire career. Yeah, the numbers certainly line up for a guy like Grant Hill over Vinny Johnson. But I think it's unfortunate for Grant because a lot of it has to do with the players he played with, what was going on with the organization at the time. He was caught between those two eras of great Pistons basketball through no fault of his own. And I think in those 6 years that he was as good of a Piston as you could possibly hope for. He I think you mentioned on Twitter today as well, he injured his ankle, which ended up derailing his career in large part because of the way he toughed it out in that Miami series at the end of his Pistons run. But another thing that Grant has going against him is, like it was said, it was just 6 years, plus he left. I mean, he left on his own accord. I know that he was traded at the end of the day because it was a sign-and trade, but the deal was only made because Grant Hill decided to leave and go to Orlando. So I think that kind of hurts his standing with the fan base as well. And all the other things, you know, Grant kind of coming in with the hype, and a lot of that deserved, of course, being a superstar that he was at Duke. I don't think, and I know that here in Michigan, we have a little bit of a complex with Duke, especially with the rivalry they had with the Fab Five era Michigan teams. But I don't think that really played much of a part in it. I didn't, when Grant was here playing, this is something for me because I'm older than you. So I remember the Bad Boys era, but when Grant Hill came in, that's when I was like, you know, fifth grade or so. And that was kind of, you know, my first real like guy that was my guy. You know, he was a Piston. He came in, he was cool. He was popular already. And he was my guy right away. And, you know, so I think that gave him a little bit of an advantage there, but the fact that he had that success early and then Pistons fans may have felt that not only did they not reach the second round of the playoffs with him, but that the excitement that he brought post Bad Boys era that maybe we thought that they would continue, you know, right away and keep going. And it was something that didn't really have a sustained level, certainly not to the way that the Bad Boys did, but it's an interesting debate. Is there any other thoughts that you have about as far as maybe if it'll happen someday or something, some sort of momentum that would have to take place for that to be a chance of happening in downtown?
You know, it's and somebody put this out there on Twitter earlier today. And I agree with you that usually for retired numbers, the criteria is very different. I was pleasantly, well, I was extremely happy to see Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups get their numbers retired. Richard Hamilton as well. Those were, well, those guys don't have maybe all NBA multiple time numbers that say Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Dave Bing, etc. have. I mean, they were critical to bring a championship here. They represented the area well, and I mean, they were fan favorites, and they were also great individually at what they did, whether it was Rip coming off screens, Ben Wallace rebounding and being a help defender, and then Chauncey Billups running the point. But I definitely think that Hill, it's a weird sort of, if it does happen one day, I could see it. But going back to that point about the Twitter user, he brought up that he wonders if Ben Wallace sort of mending his relationship post-2006 when he came back in 2009 and playing here. And I know it wasn't the same. He was past his prime. But he thinks that that sort of helped, how do I put this, maybe bridge the gap between the divide between, I don't know if there was one between the franchise and Ben Wallace, but some of the fans that, myself included, I was a younger kid, but it was, he kind of felt burned when he took a little bit more money to go play for, and especially then an up-and-coming conference division rival, even in the Chicago Bulls, and then going to getting traded to Cleveland. But I do wonder if we see him, maybe, I don't want to say embrace the Pistons. I mean, he's been seen at certain Pistons games. I know he was at the last game at the Palace, or a couple of those games, but when they were closing out that season, which was good to see. I think eventually it could happen. Stats, it's only 6 years, small sample size. The stats are really great, but I do agree that he never seemed to, from just the people I've talked to, older friends, family, who have followed this team longer than I have, been alive longer than I have, it didn't seem to connect so much with, say, other eras of Pistons basketball or other players who maybe weren't as talented, but their personalities were a little bit more colorful, should I say. So it could happen in the future. I don't know if it will, but I didn't see Ben Wallace coming back and that happened. I didn't think anyone else would get from that 04 team. I really didn't think they'd get their number retired just for the way the Pistons had done things the last 15 years. And then they decided to do Rodman in 2011. There's a possibility, though, that one day it could be up to number 33. I don't think we'll see it anytime soon, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned, Grant Hill, after he was leaving Orlando, the Pistons were on, he talked about this on the podcast with Adrian Wojnarowski a couple weeks back, which is a really good listen if fans haven't listened to that yet. It's a nice hour with Grant Hill, who's an exceedingly likable guy in all aspects. But if he talked about how he almost came back to Detroit after playing with Orlando, decided to go to Phoenix instead, saying something like he wanted to leave that chapter how it was. So it was interesting that he said that. So maybe, like you said, if when Ben Wallace came back, Chauncey Billups came back at the end of his career. Now, I think that Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups were already beloved in Pistons Nation for what they did. And Grant Hill, like I said, he left at a time where he was just seemingly about to hit his apex, about to enter the prime of his career. Now, we know from his career going forward that it was hampered with injuries and he was never really the same player. But you kind of touched on it there, the complicated relationship between him and the fans. It's something that we'll talk about this week here on this show, and people are going to write about it all week too. But and it's not so cut and dry or black and white that Pistons fans only like the rugged bad boys and only like the going to work era guys. And Grant was a Duke guy who was a more polished of a guy off the court, and, you know, played the piano and did these other things that weren't perceived as a, you know, tough NBA players. It's not that. And people will talk about that, and that is a theme that kind of goes along with the way that Grant Hill is perceived. But I think there's a little bit more to it than that. I think that, and it's not, Pistons fans would embrace a superstar. They did embrace Grant Hill for his time that he was here. I can remember that when he was the highest vote getter in the 1994 All-Star game as a rookie, when Jordan was still in the league at that time, and when Jordan came back into the league, he also had more votes than him in the All-Star game. But for him to, as a rookie, do that, and I know that Sprite commercials have a lot to do with that, and the fact that he was playing for a long time, a four-year player at a great program, playing a lot of high-profile college basketball games, had a lot to do with that too. But I think that, you know, this idea, and it kind of relates to what we're dealing with at present day with Blake Griffin. And I've been a little bit critical of Blake Griffin because you know, is he going to be the next Grant Hill? Is he going to be a guy that doesn't ever really connect with this city? And you can kind of draw upon some of those same types of themes with a guy who's got all the fame, Hollywood background, all that kind of stuff. What do you think about how, you know, Blake Griffin and Grant Hill and those themes kind of all intertwine with Pistons fans as someone who's been, you know, writing about the team on the site for a while now?
Well, I think that's a really good point that I really hadn't brought up is that Blake Griffin, at least, and I think me or you have probably mentioned this, a lot of people have, probably all Pistons fans who have followed this team, realize that Blake Griffin, save for it, a really late in his career, Allen Iverson for one season, is really the first legitimate superstar that I think the Pistons have had since Grant Hill. I mean, Tracy McGrady was on more than the back nine of his career. Jerry Stackhouse was, he wasn't a superstar. He was a very good player, very explosive player, great scorer. But they haven't had a guy on the level in terms of marketability, at least I think, since Grant Hill. And, you know, that's no disrespect to, again, the 2004 squad and that sort of era or any of the current guys, you know, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson. But it's just you're either a superstar, especially in the NBA, or you're not. You could be a very good player. But I did wonder that, you know, he's a guy that played all of his career in Los Angeles. I was wondering if the Kia commercials, if he would have to switch those to like Ford or GM or something. But some of his original, I think, interviews, it was he seemed warm to the idea that, you know, yeah, the Clippers didn't want me. I want to be where a team that wants to have me part of their long-term process. That's where I want to be, a team that is all in on me. I never really thought, I think that is a really good point that you bring up, that depending on how this all plays out, and we're only half a season in of the Blake Griffin era, does he really connect with fans? I mean, I know there was, you see plenty of Blake Griffin jerseys around town and around the arena after they signed him, but you know, now that it's kind of subsided, is there going to be that that attraction? Is it going to wear off, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. And Griffin and obviously Grant Hill, a little bit different game and kind of different rise stardom, but you see that Blake Griffin has been hampered by injuries as well. He's locked up here for the next, what, 4-5 seasons. There's a possibility that I think the disconnect could be there. It seems like he's said and done all the right things so far. I really don't know, but I think that's definitely a comparison. Like I said, Grant Hill's not on like the same level. I want to add is like an Allen Houston who pretty much wanted to leave the day he got to Auburn Hills. So I don't think he's just liked on that level. But this is really the first time in a while they've had a true Hollywood guy, like you said. And especially in the social media era, we have not seen this with the Pistons. In the last 10 years, they really haven't had a guy of this high profile. So I really don't know what to expect.
Yeah, and you mentioned it too a little while back about how Grant Hill, maybe there's, and not that there's a giant rift that needs to be repaired between Pistons fans and Grant Hill, but maybe a few more appearances in Detroit, maybe if the team gets on a little bit of an uptick here going forward, then maybe he can be kind of a part of that in some ways. And then out there, you know, as he's broadcasting college basketball games and he's talking about getting involved in politics, maybe even, and I know he did a lot of charitable work when he was here as a player, but you don't really hear his name around here anymore. Maybe there's a future for him with the city of Detroit and with the fan base where he can kind of, build that reputation that he has around here, which is fine, but in a modest kind of way. Maybe that grows in the future, and maybe that can be something that that continues to be built upon here kind of going forward. And that was Brendan Welper of Piston Powered. Follow him on Twitter at Brendan, which is B-R-E-N-D-E-N Welper, W-E-L-P-E-R. And check out the Piston Powered guys throughout the season. I actually got plenty more with Brendan. We went long, so I'm going to cut off and do a part two, maybe later this week, possibly next week, just sometime soon, to just talk about how he got involved with the Piston Powered site and some of his thoughts about the team this year and whether Pistons fans should be excited. And if so, why should they be excited going forward? We kind of got into it pretty long, and we like to keep these podcasts short, so we'll drop that part two sometime soon for you. So look out out for that as well. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Give our Facebook page a like at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And also check me out on Instagram at Matthew_Shook there as well. But we got the Lions coming up a week, a little bit less than a week from today. Monday Night Football in downtown Detroit against the New York Jets. Matt Derry has everything you need to know with the Locked On Lions podcast. I was listening to it on the plane all weekend about cut days and the Lions cuts coming up after that they had over the weekend. He did the podcast before that, and I'm guessing by now he has one on Monday up there talking, reflecting on what's happened over the weekend with Deshaun Shedd being let go, the Lions making a trade, and some big news in the NFC Central with the big move made by the Chicago Bears there, the trade. So check it out on the network, the Locked On Lions, the number one local sports daily podcast network, and all the college podcasts coming soon. A big announcement coming for you Wolverines fans out there as well. But also check out Detroit Sports Collectibles, the store in Clawson. They've got the hats, the Made in Detroit shirts, the golf simulator, football figurines, music posters, the Lambeer and Mahorn poster from the Bad Boy days, all the beer hats, just great stuff that you didn't know that you needed, but you definitely do. DetroitCollectibles.net, 661 South Main Street in Clawson, open on the weekends at 10 to 5 on Friday, 11 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday. Give them a call and they will meet you there after 5 p.m. during the week as well at 844-238-6277, 844-238-6277, Detroit Sports Collectibles on Main Street, south of 14 Mile in Clawson. Thanks to them for joining us, and thanks to you guys for checking them out and checking us out every day here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.